to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 146. I've got Phoebe here with me tonight.
Hello.
And by here with me, I mean at the other end of the Skype
call. Not here
call,
with you.
A few states away.
Yep.
How's it going, Phoebe?
It's going good. Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I figured out here as we were getting the Skype call ready, we had a little bit of technical difficulties that slowed us down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But there is a test service that you can use to do a test call so I can make sure everything's set up right on my line. And the lady who does the voice for the test service sounds exactly like Jamil Jamila.
Dude, she's the best.
She is the best. If you don't know who that is, if you've seen the show The Good Place, she plays Tatiana. Is that her name?
No.
Is that Tatiana? Tahini. It's what?
Tahini, right?
Tahini.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's the best. I was just listening to a podcast with her the other day, and she's so cool.
I really love her so much. But
the
voice on the other end of the Skype test call sounds just like her.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah. Did I ask you how you're doing? How are you doing?
I think you did. I said I was doing good. I'm still doing good.
How are things in sunny Logan, Utah?
Actually pretty sunny.
Yeah.
It was like in the 60s today. Ooh, I'm enjoying
that is nice.
It. Not in that the 60s, nice. But like in the, you know, upper 50s, but it's sunny.
Yeah.
And like even the upper 40s feel pretty nice right now. Like I can wear a short sleeve shirt in the upper 40s now.
Yeah. It's been sort of just peeking into the 70s here, and it's been really nice.
I love spring. I'm very excited about it.
Lots of blue skies. We had some kind of scary weather, actually, a few days ago.
I saw that.
Big old hailstorm that came through Sunday afternoon, and it was a lot like the one we had 2 years ago. That was like very violent, and there was big mm-hmm. hailstones. It wasn't quite as big as that one, but there were some that were like ping pong
piles and piles of hail.
And it was
hail.
A ton of it. Yeah, there was a whole bunch of rain, but then there was a whole bunch of hail. So it came down our drain pipes and into our gutters, and it was just piling up. Like it was probably like a couple feet high at the bottom of our drain pipe, and kind of covering the ground. It was a little crazy, a little insane, and the tornado sirens went off because of the hail. I didn't like it because I remembered what a pain it was to get our roof fixed last time. And it was only about a year ago I got the roof fixed. I haven't had anyone come look at it to see if I need to get it done. I might just go with the theory that if you cross your fingers, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a tornado.
Henry says there was a tornado. There was a funnel cloud that didn't touch down was all I heard.
I didn't hear anything about a tornado, but I was not there, I guess.
But it was mostly hail.
Yeah.
There was some bad hail. And one of our cars got hit a little bit. It didn't get dinged up too badly. We actually, like, when we saw it was going to hail, Mom and I ran out there with blankets and, like, put blankets over the car, just thinking maybe that would protect it a little bit. And it probably did a little bit. But it still got kind of some.
Yeah,
a little
it couldn't
bit
have
of
hurt, at least.
Yeah.
Some nice thick quilts or something.
Yeah, just the thickest blankets we could find. And they got soaked with water. Like, I've never felt those blankets so heavy when I was bringing them back in. But, oh well. We did the thing where we all get into, like, the guest bathroom with all the people in the house plus the dog.
But
I don't think we really needed to do that. Although it was hitting the windows pretty hard. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if we would have got a broken window.
Yeah, which could be a little scary.
But that didn't end up happening. And then that night it started hailing again, like at midnight. But I don't think it was, I don't think it was as bad. It sounded really loud, but I think it was just because, you know how like in the middle of the night when the house is super quiet,
everything seems louder.
Like way louder. I don't think the hail was actually as bad that time, but I was like, oh no, not again. But anyway, so that's our exciting weather story here. You have an exciting announcement that we have not talked about. Let me get you a drum roll here. you have had an exciting announcement. We've talked about everything leading up to this, but we have not announced it on the podcast.
I got into the music therapy program.
That is pretty awesome.
I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. They took 15 people this year. We actually, so the last time we recorded a podcast together was when they were supposed to let us know about results.
But it got delayed several weeks.
It got delayed a long time, and it was extremely stressful.
Yeah.
But I know now.
Was 15 and I'm very more excited. Or less than you expected them to accept?
It's about on track for what they usually do. I think they usually, I feel like they always say they take 12 a year and then it's always 15. Hmm. But then also a lot of years they take up to maybe 18 because if people drop out of the program in other years, they can accept more.
Okay.
So it's usually like around 15 to 18. So 15 is kind of on the lower end.
And it was like a long process. Like
right.
The audition process was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
They it had lots of different components to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And it's probably one of the most competitive programs to get into. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm so happy. It's like my dream job. It's just, and I mean, it's kind of a thing where if you get into the program, you're pretty much guaranteed everything else, a job and an internship and stuff. So it's pretty exciting.
So do you think you are set on this? Like, is yeah. there still a possibility you might change your mind at some point?
I guess there's always a possibility, but I really don't think so. I really feel like this is
the thing.
I feel good about where I've been kind of led the last year, really.
I'm super excited for you.
Yeah, I'm really happy. It's really like, it really is the perfect thing for me. Like, it kind of combines all of the things that I like and feel like I'm pretty good at.
Yeah.
And like when I was trying to think about like, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, what am I going to choose for another major? I just didn't know. Like nothing felt like as good of a, like even close to as good of a fit for me as this is. And it feels really right. So,
and I know yeah. we've talked about this before, but does this major sits like half in the music department and half in the psychology department?
Right.
Is that right?
Well, it's actually, so it's in the arts college, but it's a Bachelor of Science instead of a Bachelor of Arts.
Interesting.
And it's psychology, but a lot of it's also kind of like almost like physical therapy, and you have to take anatomy and you have to take all kinds of stuff. So there's really a lot that goes into it.
A lot of science classes, but also arts classes.
Right, which I like, and I love my psychology classes.
Yeah, it's an interesting combination.
It's really cool. There's really a lot of really cool stuff you can do with it. Like almost any problem you could have, you could, if you needed extra support, you can go to a music therapist. But
and does the college do placement too, or is that kind of up to you?
Yeah, I don't know. well, I mean, once you graduate, you have to do a 6-month internship.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm sure they help with job placement. They have a 100% placement rate. So like wow. basically, I mean, it's a small program. If you get
That's
into the program, you're going to have a job. Like,
that was probably like my biggest factor when I was choosing law schools was the law school I went to had like, at the time I went there 6 months after graduation, like 98.5% of their graduates had jobs. And I was like, that sounds good. That sounds important.
Jobs. Well, mine's 100%. So.
Yeah. So even better.
Yeah. No, it's very like, it's a really good music therapy program with a good reputation. And it's also, it doesn't hurt that it's the only music therapy program in like the Western United States.
Mm.
So yeah, they're well connected. It's a good program with a good reputation, and yeah, you're pretty much guaranteed a job. So it's,
which is also cool. Why it was so competitive and difficult for you to audition.
It's a hard program to get into. I think there's other areas where there are more programs that someone is telling me, if you go, my friend at this college is telling me that almost everyone gets in there, and like, this is not the case here.
Yeah. So you did, and I know we've talked about this before, but just to review, or maybe someone who didn't listen to those episodes.
You want me to go through every single part of the
voice and piano and guitar and cello?
Yeah. So we had to, our pre-audition, I played guitar and sang, and then I answered some interview questions for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got past that round, and then I also had to complete a whole application with all of my guitar and piano and voice and cello experience and my resume and all the different things I've done and any clinical populations I've worked with and that kind of thing, because I have done some things like that and all these different questions in my academic history. And then when I got to the second round of auditions, it was in person. So I played guitar and sang a folk song, played piano and sang a popular song, and played a classical piece on cello. And then I had to write an essay, and then I had to get 3 letters of recommendation. So
it's a lot of work.
It was a lot.
Yeah. So, and everyone has to do that to get into the program, right? So you can't, you don't just mm-hmm. start college in the program.
No. Yeah. A lot of people audition as incoming freshmen, but there are actually a lot of people who audition once they're already in college. And there's actually, they actually really encourage people to re-audition because there's a lot of people who make it who had to audition multiple times.
Hmm.
But the thought of, it was so stressful. I was like thinking yeah. about like, do I really want to re-audition if I don't get in?
Yeah.
And I kind of did because I really felt like it was just such a good fit for me. And I just was so in love with like the program, but.
Well, that probably would have been a good idea because you made it past the yeah. first round.
Yeah.
But luckily you don't have to.
Yeah, I know. For me, when I was thinking about it, it was a combo of like, do I want to potentially get rejected twice? And also like, so I was kind of like, yeah, anyway.
So some of the people who auditioned were high school seniors?
Yeah. I don't know what the group is made up of, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, and technically, I am basically going into my next semester as a sophomore in the program. I mean, I'm behind in some of the stuff, but I'm going to be able to catch up and graduate in 4 years, hopefully, because I was able to take some classes that I needed.
And you had a bunch of AP credits and things like that.
Yeah, not that those helped a lot, because it's a program with a lot of very specific requirements, but right. I should be able to catch up. I need to go to my advisor, actually. I have a friend who auditioned for the program, too, and she made it in, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, that's exciting. But,
I know. She was in my intro to music therapy class and some of my other classes last semester. Uh-huh. Super sweet girl, but she told me she went to the music therapy advisor her first semester and told her, like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get into the program. And the advisor basically was like, yeah, you're not going to make it in. Choose another major and sign up for those classes.
Hmm.
She was well, like, that's in cool, a way, but like,
in a way, I could see why that's right. that would be like really common sense advice.
Yeah, because the majority won't make it.
Planning like, for not making it is probably a good idea, because otherwise, if you just take music therapy classes and you don't get in, then you're sort of
which is where I was at.
From zero in some other major.
Right.
So and I can sort of see why a counselor might kind of push people that way.
And
although
I
it seems
that
kind of
because,
it seems kind of mean, but
right. Because we had, I think, around 100 people audition and 15 make it in. The majority aren't going to, but
right.
she said she totally went in there and had her dreams just crushed. And I was like, yeah that's why I'm not going to do that right now, because.
But for like 85% of like, people who come talk to the advisor,
right.
that's probably solid advice. So maybe yeah. they were just playing the odds.
Yeah. No, and I was like, you know, if I don't get in, I can figure stuff out from there and kind of figure out what I'm going to do. But I was like, for now, I think I'm just going to not face that until I have to, which worked for me. So, you know, but yeah, I need to visit with the advisor, but I should be able to finish everything in 3 years or yeah, 3 more years. And then my junior and senior year, I'm going to be doing clinical work. So hopefully I can get up to speed on all my credits by then.
Yeah. But that's not the only kind of exciting personal news you have. You've
yeah.
got a lot going on in your life as
I've
a college
exciting,
freshman.
It's an exciting time right now. So
it is. Lots of
well,
big,
do you wanna,
big life
do you
choices.
Say?
Well, it's your story to tell, so I'll let you tell it.
Okay. I'm trying to gather my thoughts. So
I'm trying to figure out how to segue into this.
Yeah. I am going to go on a LDS mission and be a missionary next year after this semester.
Yeah. So it's something you decided a few months ago, I guess.
In October. Yeah. It was never something I wanted to do, actually, which is kind of funny. Like when people would ask me like, oh, have you always wanted to? I was like, no.
it was
something
recently.
I always thought was really cool and like was like, not going to do that though. And yeah. I just suddenly yeah. felt really strongly that I needed to. So
I've mentioned before on the podcast, I talk about Japan a lot, and we're going on a vacation to Japan here in a few
yeah.
months. But that was how I got to know Japan, as I got sent on a mission to Japan. I lived in Japan for 2 years. So you have pulled together all of your application and submitted it.
All my medical forms.
And now you're waiting to be told like where you're going to be sent. So if anyone's not familiar with the way LDS missions work, it's completely voluntary. You don't get paid for it. And once you volunteer and decide you want to go, you have to do a whole bunch of preparation for it and meet with your local bishop and meet with your other kind of local leaders and have an interview and submit your paperwork. But then it's, you know, and I got this question a lot, like from people is, well, did you get to choose to go to Japan? And the answer is no, you don't get to choose where you want to go.
Nope.
You just choose to serve and they send you where you might serve.
Yep. It's good time. Yeah, it's, I'm excited though. I mean, everything's sent to the church office and I'm waiting. I'll probably get my call and it's for 18 months. So I won't be on the podcast for a little while, at least not probably in a normal way.
Probably not. They actually just made a change in policy on missionaries where, it used to be like back when I served a mission and until very recently, you could only even call home like twice a year. You could call home on Mother's mm-hmm. Day and on Christmas, but they just made a change that you can call or Skype home, once a week if you want to.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it once a week,
I probably won't be on the podcast like I am now.
Yeah.
But you could maybe work it into a segment or something somehow.
The possibility that under this new policy, maybe we could Skype you into the podcast. I don't know if it's going to happen.
For maybe a segment. Maybe not an entire episode.
Yeah, just a few minutes to sort of check in. Maybe we'll do a segment that is how's it going on Phoebe's mission or something like that.
How's it going in
wherever you are.
That's the other exciting thing.
I mean, it's exciting, but it's also kind of scary. I think I'm actually
scared.
Like,
I'm feeling good about stuff.
Let me qualify that. Like when I was, when I put my mission papers in and was waiting to know where I was going on a mission, to me, it was exciting. As a parent, I've sort of got a different perspective. Like for me, it's a little like it's exciting, but it's also a little scary.
Yeah.
Because I think I've got a different approach. Like, you know, I think I'm just much more concerned about like health and safety issues.
You know, they don't send girls to nearly as many places as they send boys.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably true.
They don't send girls usually to the really dangerous areas. If there's a place that they feel like is like truly... Yeah, so like, I mean, a lot of parts in Africa or like really, really... Just some of the scarier areas they don't send. They won't send girls to Russia. I don't even know how many missionaries are sending to Russia because they're not allowed to teach.
Yeah, Russia's got, you know, under the current regime, it's a little iffy.
Yeah.
There were female missionaries on my mission, but in Japan, you know, Japan's very safe. And very, there aren't a lot of health issues in Japan either. It's a very clean country.
Right. So I got, that's kind of what you do, but I got a big map and I'm having people put their guesses on it. Yeah. Just started that today. I have probably like 20, maybe. I'm letting people guess one in the US and one foreign.
Yeah, and you send out, we've been doing this over the family group chat, which we've talked about, that family members have submitted their guesses. How many have in the family so far?
I think...
You don't do it, right, as the person?
I don't know. I feel like...
Have you put any guesses in, or are you just going to be neutral?
I might put a guess in. I'm not sure yet.
It sort of feels like you shouldn't. Like, you should just be a... I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like I can guess.
It seems like you might jinx yourself, though. I don't know. I'm very superstitious about it at this point.
I will say I've been talking to people about it, obviously, now. I feel like it'll be foreign. And I feel like I'll speak a language. I don't know for sure. I don't really care. I would be happy wherever. But I feel like I'm going to speak a language, maybe. I don't know. I've had a lot of people actually tell me England. And I've had a lot of people tell me they feel like Europe.
Oh, yeah?
But I don't know.
So what do you think? What family members have put theirs in?
Mom said Missouri for her United States one, and then Alpine Mission, which is like German-speaking, and it's Switzerland, Liechtenstein, and Germany, parts of Germany and Austria.
Uh-huh.
And
Elizabeth said Arizona and Japan. So everyone is guessing. So you can be sent stateside or you can be sent to a foreign country.
Yeah.
So for purposes of this guessing exercise, we said one foreign country, one domestic location.
Will said Mexico and California.
Yep. So Henry hasn't put in a guess, and I have not put in a guess. I think I need to put in a guess, but I decided maybe I'd just do it here on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
So my guesses are, for a stateside location, I'm guessing Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you know, I got Pennsylvania already.
Oh, yeah?
From someone today.
And for a foreign mission, my guess is Seoul, South Korea.
Okay. You don't think Japan?
Well, see, it's so hard for me because in my heart of hearts, I really want you to go to Japan. But I don't want to jinx it. And I don't want to be selfish. Like, is that really the best thing for you? I don't know. I would love you to go to Japan. I'd love you to go to like the same place I went to Japan.
I know. That would be cool. But, actually, our friend Hannah went to her dad's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's in Arizona, not Japan, but.
Yeah. But I'm going
to
say Seoul, Seoul, South Korea. It's not that far from Japan.
Yeah.
It's also in that area of the world.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. I forgot. What was I going to say? I've had a couple people guess Japan, though. I think Japan would be cool. Mom has specifically told me that she doesn't want me to go to the Philippines. Because we've known like three people now who have come home.
It's not that it's a bad place. I think Filipino people are super friendly.
Oh,
you know, there's a lot of really good things about the culture. But one, it isn't very safe right now under the current president. Mm-hmm. And two, we've known a lot of people who've gone there and have a lot of serious health issues.
Three people who have gotten sent home. And we don't know that many people who have gone. But of the people I know who have gone, we know a lot of people who have come home early because they got really, really sick.
Yeah.
But, you know,
so hygiene can be an issue.
I would love to go to the Philippines. I have a couple really good friends who are from the Philippines, and I think it'd be really cool to be able to speak to them in their first language. And also, I don't know, they love it. So
it is there's a lot of really cool things about that country. But yeah, I would be a little concerned, a little worried, just based on friends of ours that have had issues.
I just got another one. Argentina and Massachusetts.
I'm going to open this up to any listeners of the podcast. If the listeners of the podcast want to submit their guesses, they can send it by email at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. They can tweet us at TTDpodcast on Twitter, or they can message us at talktodadpodcast on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll add those. But I will say, you probably need to get your guesses in quickly. So this podcast will land on Saturday. We're recording it on Wednesday night. There's a possibility that you'll have it by next Tuesday.
Right, but I'm not going to open until Sunday.
Okay, so you've got 1 week basically from the time this podcast lands.
There's a pretty good chance we'll have it next week.
Your guess.
Yeah.
You think you can go all the way from Tuesday to Sunday without knowing?
Yeah.
There's also a possibility it won't come until the following Tuesday.
Yeah,
and when you get your result, we'll probably tweet it out and, you know, put something on Instagram, Facebook, so that our listeners can know. But if you want to get in on the action, if you want to guess, so the idea is you guess anywhere in the world. If you're not familiar with LDS missions, it's a little bit more difficult because there are some parts of the world where they don't have LDS missionaries.
Yeah.
But most places you would think, like most Western countries, most of Africa, most of South America.
You can, and I mean, you can go there. Most countries, I would say there are missionaries, and you can Google Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints missions list or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's some parts of like the Arab world and Eastern Europe where they may not have missionaries, but
North Korea, obviously Russia. Well, no, Russia,
Russia kind of does,
but I don't know if they're adding more missionaries right now, or if they're just kind of like, because the ones that are there, I think originally they were allowed to teach, and now they're just kind of like chilling and trying not to get arrested. So, and sometimes failing. Some got arrested a little while ago. But
so guess one country. You can get as specific as you want, like I did with Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah.
And one, you can just guess a state if you want, or you can guess a city in a state like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And then we'll see who got the closest.
Yep.
And hey, if it's a listener, maybe we'll send you some sort of prize.
Totally.
I don't know.
My friend Brad, our friend Kayla just got her assignment. I don't know where I was going with that. And she got assigned to Vancouver, Canada. Uh-huh. And he guessed it exactly.
That's pretty good.
So now he's being like all annoying and he's like, I can guess anyone's. I totally know. Has he put in a guess for you yet? Yeah, he thinks London South.
London South.
Which I've actually had, I think, 3 people guess London or the UK or England.
That would be pretty cool.
I don't know. And I had someone else tell me
that. I want to go to London. I've never been there.
I would love it. I mean, I would be happy wherever, but London would be cool.
Yeah.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah, he's like, so I told him I want it to be the farthest possible thing from that, just so he'll stop thinking he can guess everyone's.
And fortunately, the head of the music program or the music therapy program has already said that it's fine for you to leave on your mission and then come back.
Oh, she sent me the sweetest email because I told her she actually went on a mission herself long, long time ago. But not to call her old if she's listening, which she's not. But anyway, but I sent her when she sent me that I got accepted in the program, I had to email back and say that, like, yes, works for me. Cool. And I said, yeah, like, I'm excited to join. And just to remind you, because I had emailed making sure it was okay during the audition process, I will be going on a mission. And she said, awesome. Don't forget the 3 rules related to missionary deferments. And I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, more stuff I have to do because I already have to take a leave of absence and do all these other things.
Yep.
And she said, 1, let me know where you're going. 2, email me at least a couple of times. And 3, come back. So it was super sweet. It made me happy.
That is really nice. It's nice because I think, you know, not all schools are quite as understanding. So that's nice.
Oh, my cello teacher. I don't know if I told you this. My cello teacher originally went to West Texas A&M I think at first she was a double major for a year in cello performance and music therapy. But then she just switched to just cello performance. But she went on a mission and she had been there 2 years. The professor knew her really well. She had been admitted with like flying colors, she said, because it wasn't like a super competitive music school. The wife of the main professor had taught her for years in high school. And they were very, very angry that she was going on a mission and were not down with it. And they had her over to their house to tell her what a mistake she was making and like all the stuff. And it was kind of traumatizing. And then she came back from her mission and they were like, yeah, you're going to have to re-audition. And we're super rude about it. So she was like, you know what? I don't really want to. So she transferred to Utah State where they were much more understanding and much nicer to her, treated her a lot better. So
I'm extremely lucky. Particularly like performance majors, because there's this sort of, like if they went to like a conservatory or like a conservatory type program, it's very strict mindset.
Oh yeah.
That performance majors have. And it's like, you know, it's a little, I don't know. I don't want to knock anyone that's done that because in a way I have a lot of respect for them.
I have a lot of respect too. But yeah, really it's not rough, seen as an option to just leave for 2 years.
Yeah. And I think
for a year and a half,
there's even some people that like, you know, people that teach at conservatories that think being mean is like the best way to bring out the best in their students.
And that you're like crazy for wanting to, like, you have to devote your entire life to this and this is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was
issues. If you really want to be great, that's the sacrifice you have to make.
There was issues at Utah State last year with a professor that got kicked out, but there was this huge scandal with all these different issues. But one of them was that women would have to hide that they were getting married, because if he found out that they were engaged, and he'd be like, well, married women can't be successful pianists, and would drop them as students.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It was,
Yeah. But anyway,
so, yeah, I got
luckily,
really lucky.
You don't have to deal with
the
that.
The heads, everyone here is really, really just really great, and I don't have to deal with that, so I'm really happy about it.
Yep. So, you know, what's going on here? I am sort of becoming more and more obsessed with our Japan trip. I think it takes up about, at least 50% of my waking thoughts, which hopefully, you know, no one from work is listening to this because I should probably think about work at least half the time.
Thinking about the law.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm at that point where I'm like obsessively reading TripAdvisor forums, not because I'm learning anything. Mostly I'm like giving other people advice.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, and thinking about, like, I've got the spreadsheet all pretty much locked in now. I've got like multiple places we could eat on any given day, depending on where we are in our itinerary. We're supposed to get our vouchers for our rail passes on Monday. Got an email about that. I don't know, just all the stuff. All the stuff. We're about 60 days away from leaving on vacation, and I'm very excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah. In fact, I got an article here I noticed when I was looking for news articles for the podcast. This isn't really a news article per se, but it was an article that was written on Lifehacker. Have you ever looked at Lifehacker?
I have.
There's an article called How Tokyo Hacks Its Streets and Subways. And I knew most of this, but it's still fun to read and interesting to talk about. But they talk about how Tokyo is a huge city that's, you know, very crowded, one of the most densely populated places on Earth. But as a city, it functions really well because they have a lot of really smart things they do. And Japanese people just sort of are really good at navigating crowds. Like, I don't know, they're just very courteous, very efficient. So I was just going to mention some of the things they bring up in this article. They mention that the sidewalks have guides for the blind. This is something I really noticed the last time I was in Japan, but they have these little yellow stripes. And raised lines indicate a continuous path along the sidewalk. If there are bumps on the yellow line, that indicates a curb or a diverging pathway. So if you're blind and you're walking along, you can feel those raised lines and know that you're safe if you follow those lines.
That's cool.
And they're pretty extensive. Like nearly every sidewalk or walkway, or like even like walkways and train stations and subways have them. They mentioned that the pedestrian crossings have countdowns, and not just like we have. Like some of the crosswalks here have a countdown for like, you know, when it's going to turn red, but they have actually countdowns for when it's going to turn green as well. There's like bars on the red crosswalk that get shorter and shorter until it turns green. What else? There are, and this is a new thing. I didn't actually know about this. This was something I didn't know. There are no smoking zones on the sidewalk. And this is relatively new because Tokyo was sort of late to get no smoking laws, the clean air laws. But recently, it's become very strict where you cannot smoke on the street. And that's pretty unusual in American cities. Like most American cities now, you can't smoke in restaurants or even in bars or public spaces. But even on the street now, they have no smoking signs on the sidewalk, which is pretty nice for non-smokers that want to walk around the city.
Yeah.
What else? They say the subway signs are very efficient. Even on the subway, like on the car, there will be a diagram of a map of the subway. And I've seen that in other places, but it's very efficient in Japan. One of the things I really love in Tokyo, and I'll point this out to you while we're there, there's one main loop around the city that's called the Yamanote Line. And the Yamanote Line is used by tons of commuters, and you can get a lot of different places in the city. It's just this big, long train loop that runs in both directions around the city to the major areas. But one of the things that's really cool, and I don't know how many of the stops there are on the Yamanote Line. There's probably like at least 25 stops. But each stop has its own song. So when you pull into that station, it has a unique song just to that station. So you get used to, like, every time you're in that station, you hear this cute little song that plays when the train pulls up.
Mm. It's music really therapy cool. in action.
But it's also cool because when you hear it, you'll know that you're in the right train station. And one of the things I've always been mystified by is when you're on a Tokyo train, there are people who get on the train, sit down, and immediately fall asleep, like take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they get really good at, like, they know when to wake up and get off the train. So they never miss their stop. And I wonder if that musical cue is part of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
My friend and I here have this super lame running joke where whenever music's used in anything, I just go, music therapy in action.
Yeah.
So.
Another thing they mention is that the vending machines in Japan, I mean, Japan is kind of famous for having tons of vending machines and selling lots of different things in vending machines. But the vending machines sell both cold and hot drinks. This yeah, won't be an issue for us as much because now we're going during the summer. But when Mom and I went before, it was really nice to be able to get a hot drink, like a hot chocolate or a hot cider, or they had like hot lemonade and obviously hot coffee, although we don't drink coffee. But you can get a hot drink, and it's really common to get a hot drink from a vending machine, and you get out and it's like all warm and you can hold it and drink it. Mm. They mentioned that train station bathrooms, like every Tokyo train station has a bathroom in it. Now, sometimes they're not the most clean bathrooms, but at least they have them. Because yeah, a lot of public train stations in this country don't have them, or like subway stops don't have bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
One thing they mentioned, and this is actually a really good idea, is when you travel in Japan, a lot of people travel with like a small little towel, like a little hand towel that they can keep like in a backpack or in their pocket. Because sometimes train station bathrooms do not have paper towels. So they have like soap and water, but you can't dry your hands. And the reason for that is because the litter it causes. If you don't have paper towels, you don't have to have a trash can, and you don't have litter in the bathroom that needs to be changed. And that was actually the last thing they mentioned in this article is one of the hacks they have in Tokyo is there are no trash cans on the street, which I definitely noticed this last time I was in Tokyo. It's really strange because Tokyo does not have a lot of litter, but at the same time, there are no trash cans. Like, it's really hard to find a trash can. Train stations have trash cans, and convenience stores have trash cans, but just there's no just a municipal trash can on the street where you can throw away your litter. And part of that is cultural. Like, Japanese people are very much culturally against litter, so when they have trash, they just pack it up with them, bring it home, and throw it in their own personal trash.
Yeah.
But the fact that you don't have trash cans means you don't have like a pile of litter that overflows the trash can and blows around the city. So for that reason, it's actually better not to have a trash can, assuming that people won't just throw their trash all over. And in Japan, they don't.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Interesting article about how, and there's a lot of other things too. I read a different article saying that there's actually like in the some Tokyo train stations had experimented with having a certain blue light on their train platforms that, and this is sounds kind of morbid, but it actually prevents suicides.
Like
as people sit on the train platform, because one way people sometimes kill themselves is jumping in front of trains, but the light makes them feel better and relaxes them. And it, since they've installed those lights, it stopped people from killing themselves. So there's just a lot of like really interesting, like Japanese people tend to really engineer things and put a lot of thought into the way they organize their cities.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That is really interesting.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got a news story. Let's start with a Florida Man story. We haven't talked about Florida Man in a long time. I've got a story out of Dundee, Florida, which is sort of near Orlando. In Dundee, Florida, Florida Man faked robbery to get out of work.
Okay.
Way to go, Florida Man. That's a very Florida Man thing to do. It says, authorities say a Florida man didn't want to show up for a shift at Hardee's restaurant, so he called 911 and reported that he had just been robbed. WFTS TV reports that 32-year-old Brian Anderson of Dundee told dispatchers Tuesday that two gun-carrying men took his necklace, money, and his phone before jumping into a car and driving away. Polk County Sheriff deputies went to the scene and quickly realized that a robbery never happened. In a Facebook post, the agency said Anderson confessed, adding that on the bright side, Brian didn't have to go to his 11 a.m. shift at the restaurant.
Hmm.
Anderson was, however, charged with misusing the 911 system and knowingly giving false information to law enforcement. So, Florida man. I don't know if you noticed it, but this week there was a Florida man challenge that went on Twitter. Did you see this?
I saw mentions of it. I didn't really know what it was.
So what it was is if you put Florida man, if you do a Google search for Florida man plus your birthday, and then post like, who is your Florida man?
Ooh,
so
okay.
I haven't done this yet, but I thought we could do it on the podcast. I don't know if you just, probably just your month and date. I didn't find that information.
Yeah, because I mean, yours wouldn't,
but
you're
probably
too
just
old.
Your, right. Just your month and date. So should we do it?
Yep. I'm doing it right now.
I'm doing it right now too. Florida man. It's
all
funny
because
when I do it, there's a whole bunch
of dates
that come up.
All of mine are just about the Florida man challenge. Should I go on news? Dude, this is lame. This is all just about the...
Oh, it does the same with me. Maybe because so many people have done it.
It's ruined now.
Maybe it doesn't work anymore.
Wait. How do you search something and say that you specifically don't want a certain word? There's like a way to do it.
Oh, there is a way to do it. Let me see if I can remember. I think there's like a symbol you put before the letter you don't want to.
Because I could put it without challenge.
Oh, you put minus or like
okay, that's what I I thought it was.
Yeah. All right. So let's do that, and then let's do
minus
Florida
challenge.
Man plus our date minus challenge.
Mine is inappropriate, and I could not read on the podcast.
I was afraid that might happen.
The next one. Is this one appropriate for?
I don't know. Read it, and then I'll decide.
It's not great, but it's less inappropriate than the first one. It says, the title is Jury Finds Florida Man Guilty of Dismembering Father, Not Murder. So he didn't murder him.
That's a good one. I like that one, actually.
He didn't murder him, but he,
did dismember
scattered
him.
His body parts everywhere.
So don't dismember your father. But that's
no
your
promises.
Florida man. He dismembered his father, but didn't murder him. You want to know what mine is?
He actually just died. Yeah, the father died from a drug overdose, and then he dismembered him.
Yikes.
What was yours?
Mine is, police chief, Florida man climbed into deep well to say he did it.
Nice.
Here's
good
the article.
For him.
It says, authorities say they've rescued a Florida man who got stuck after climbing to a 30-feet deep well just to say he did it.
Well, good for him.
Well, exactly. Yes, Florida man climbed into a well and couldn't get out. Those are pretty funny Florida mans. So if you want to tweet us your Florida man challenge, it might help if you put minus challenge, because the story went viral so much this week that now it no longer works. It's sort of busted.
It's super annoying.
But it seems to work if you put that minus challenge in there.
Yeah.
You want to share your story?
Sure. My real story, not my Florida man story?
Yes.
Okay. My story is Market Basket says stores are ghost free after reported sighting in Wilmington store.
I really like this story.
Market Basket boasts a lot of products from deli meats to fruits and vegetables, but you're not likely to find any ghosts or ghoulish creatures among the items in stock. At least that's according to spokespersons for the supermarket chain, who had set the record straight this week after someone posted on social media that an apparition wearing Victoria-era clothing had been spotted floating through a store in Wilmington, a claim that led to national news coverage about the alleged encounter.
Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Yes.
Why do so many ghosts wear Victoria-era clothing? Have you ever thought about that?
Maybe it was a sad time.
Yeah, it just seems like that's sort of everyone's like cliche about a ghost is they're wearing Victoria-era clothing.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
As far as we know, all of our stories are ghost-free, Justine Griffin said in a statement to the Globe. But if there's anything to it, she's probably attracted to our Victorian-era prices. Lovely.
That's a really cheesy line.
Yep.
I bet she was really, really proud of that line. I bet she was really proud of that line, but that is a cheesy line.
She probably really was. So basically, there was a Facebook group in Wilmington, and they were asking if anyone had ever seen a ghost. And someone said, this is going to sound really, really strange, but has anyone seen a ghost in the Wilmington Market Basket? And they later elaborated in the comments and said, described the ghost as an old Victorian-era woman in her nightgown near the frozen peas. LOL.
Hanging out by the frozen peas.
I saw her and looked away to see if anyone else saw her, and when I looked back, she was gone.
And then other
someone else said, I've seen someone like this, but younger. Definitely around that era, though, the clothes and hairstyle. What if, I mean, they could all be like, I feel like when I think of Victorian era, I mean, there was a war around that time, right? Civil War?
Sure.
Maybe? I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not good at history.
And I think like part of the having like the long flowing robe or whatever is like those were like burial clothes, I guess. I think that's part of where the whole idea comes from. So it's not necessarily.
Well, and if it was a recent ghost, you might not be as likely to notice it was a ghost because you might just think it was a person.
Maybe. I don't know.
So that's a thought. I don't know if they were just looking like they died like a few years ago. She wouldn't like do a double take.
Yeah.
We could have all seen ghosts.
So the supermarket chain is denying it, but I gotta say, if I lived anywhere near this place, I would totally go.
Yeah,
just to check it out.
I would too.
Because I don't know, a grocery store is one, and this is a personal quirk of mine. I actually love grocery stores. I've always loved grocery stores. I don't know why.
I like grocery stores.
Some people hate them, but I love them.
Have you noticed that I always want to go grocery shopping with you too?
Yeah.
I like grocery shopping.
I especially like if it's like a fancy grocery store or like a, you know, an Asian grocery store or a Mexican grocery store.
But even just Kroger,
a regular grocery store, I like them. I enjoy grocery stores.
Every time you mention you're going grocery shopping, I'm like, can I come?
Yeah.
I get super excited.
I don't know that I would want to spend like a night in a super creepy house or like in a graveyard or like, you know, in down a dark cave or something that's supposedly haunted. But I have no problem hanging out in a grocery store to see if I see a ghost. That would not frighten me at all. Grocery stores tend to be kind of well lit and, you know.
It's fine. Yeah, no, I would totally go.
Yeah.
They should just say, yes, all of our stores are haunted.
I do wonder if their business picked up a little bit after the story went viral.
Yeah.
Just from people like,
it had to a little, check right? it out.
And I, by the way, I need to buy some milk and eggs and bread while I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got another story from the world of science. Science! This is kind of interesting. It's a little long, so I'm going to summarize it, but it is from the website sciencealert.com about some experiments they did on the space station, the International Space Station. They were actually performed by the German Aerospace Center, did an experiment that they called Biomex. And the idea behind the experiment, I think, was to try and figure out if there's any form of life that could still be living on the planet Mars. So, you know, a lot of people have speculated about whether there's life on Mars. They've never found any life on Mars, even though they've had rovers up there and there's... You know, it's probably the most studied planet other than Earth. I've yet to find any life. But the idea behind this experiment was, is it theoretically possible under Mars conditions? Because Mars has very harsh conditions. You know, there's little oxygen. There's very high temperature. There's low gravity. And so what they tried to do is they basically created... what they know the Martian soil is like, and they put in some microbes and bacteria and single-celled organisms into the soil. And then they actually took the soil and put it on the outside of the International Space Station. So it's being exposed to like, you know, basically outer space and a whole bunch of ultraviolet rays that are very destructive. And they left it there for 18 months, brought it back down to Earth for analysis, and actually found that there were organisms and biomolecules that survived.
Okay.
And these are like microorganisms that, like some of them were found in the Arctic permafrost. So what was that?
Something just fell off my desk. Oh. It was a little flashlight.
Scary.
It's fine.
But so very hardy microbes that managed to survive in outer space. I thought that was really interesting. I didn't think anything could survive in outer space. But apparently these really hardy. What was that?
No, I just said, yeah. I just yawned as I said it. It
sounded strange.
Yeah, I survived in outer space.
Yes. But part of the one interesting thing about the article is there is a theory out there that Earth life started on Mars and came to Earth on an asteroid.
I've heard that.
And this sort of confirms that that's theoretically possible because life could survive on an asteroid through the journey through space and then land on Earth and start on Earth.
Yeah. So that's, we're all Martians.
Okay, can I say something?
Henry has thoughts.
Okay, yes. I was listening and I was thinking, like, if there were something that would live on Mars, if there were something that would live on Mars, it'd be tardigrades because they're, like, super powerful and are really, really hard to kill.
I thought of that too. They didn't actually do tardigrades in this this experiment, weird. But
maybe Henry, they can do. Henry, I have two questions.
Phoebe's got questions. He can't hear you because he doesn't have headphones on.
You want to pass him your headphones for a sec?
Yeah.
Henry, two questions.
What?
First of all, why are you up so late? What's up with that?
Because I am.
You're a teenager now, allowed to stay up late. I guess you're only 12 still, right? Yes?
Yep.
Yeah. Second of all, where do you think I'm going on my mission?
I feel like for the state Nevada and for the country Mexico.
Okay, you and Will. And Mariana. Okay. There are a lot of people that go to Mexico. Do you have a specific city? No?
Cozumel.
Ooh. That would be fun.
I don't know if they have missionaries.
I don't know if there is a mission there, but that would be fun. I'll just put Mexico. Anyway, thank you, Henry. This has been Henry on the podcast.
All right, I'm back.
Okay.
I think that if Henry ever started a professional sports team, he would have tardigrades be their mascot.
He definitely would.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a really quick segment as our middle segment. Let's do just a little bit of Would You Rather. Okay. What I just said was only hypothetical. Oh. Would You Rathers are hypotheticals.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Quite the hypotheticals we usually do when we do a hypothetical.
Do I hear Maisie?
I do. Did you hear her drinking water a minute ago? Probably all of our listeners jingling. Heard her drinking water a second ago.
I just hear her caller.
Yeah. We don't have
Maisie update, I just have though. To comment because I miss Maisie.
Maisie's doing okay. All right. First, would you rather? I feel like we've done this one before. Would you rather be the best in the world at something but no one knows it, or be the worst in the world at something and everyone knows it?
Worst in the world and everyone knows it. I mean, I guess it would depend on what it was.
Would you rather be the worst in the world at something and everyone knows it?
Why wouldn't that be that bad? What if I was like... I'm thinking, what if I was like the worst football player in the world and everyone knew? I wouldn't care. People already know I suck at football.
But is there any downside to being the best in the world at something and no one knows it?
I guess
just that no one knows
because it. Because I feel like usually to be the best at something, you have to devote like your whole life to it. You know?
Unless it's just some random knack you have.
Yeah. I still am going to go with the worst one in the world one. Okay. Because really, I just don't feel like it would be that bad.
Only 13%.
Depending on what it was.
Said yours. I voted for best in the world at something and no one knows it. And that was what 87% said.
Yeah, I'm just not good at keeping secrets. And I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. And the worst in the world, it really would depend on what it was. But I'm terrible at plenty of things, and I'm okay that people know that.
All right, here's a creepy one. Would you rather be buried alive or be eaten alive?
Oh, gosh. Neither?
Of course not. Of course,
what body parts be eaten first?
I would rather be buried alive, even though that would be terrifying. It would be much more painful to be eaten alive.
Unless they got your heart first and you immediately died. Yeah, I'm going for, I'm trying to think which one's faster. Buried alive just does not sound good.
If you're buried alive, you would die as soon as your oxygen ran out. Hopefully they wouldn't.
Oh, that just does not.
Yeah. They're both horrible options. I'm going to say buried alive.
You know what? I'm going to go with eaten alive because it's faster.
Yeah. All right. I guess if it's a lion, it would be really fast, right?
Or like a python. Yeah. Something that's just like super immediate because being, I mean, think about spending
for
like,
for some reason I was thinking what, like 5 minutes underground, like a cannibal.
Think about spending like 5 minutes underground.
It's true.
Just like feeling yourself die.
57% said buried alive. Only 43% said being eaten alive.
I hate questions like that.
I know they're awful. Would you rather, well, this is an interesting one. I haven't seen this one before. Would you rather double your lifespan or be able to think twice as fast?
Think twice as fast.
Boy, we're disagreeing on every single one. I'm going to say double your lifespan.
Why do you want to live longer?
That's a fair point. I don't know that everyone I really you love would be dead. Long. But do you really need to think twice as fast?
No, but I don't really want to live twice as long.
That's fair. Most like, people agreed with you this time. 66% said being able to think twice as fast. Only 34% said double your lifespan.
Not to like toot my own horn, but I'm a pretty fast thinker. Like I am really good at like tests and stuff like that where you have to think fast.
See, for that reason, I thought that I don't need it as much.
No, I don't need it. I just don't want to live twice as long.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. And that is...
Would it even affect my life that much if I thought faster? The only thing that would affect... I feel like with Would You Rathers, I'm trying to go for the one that I think will affect my life the least.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a decent approach. That's a strategy. So that is Would You Rather. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So for Treat Yourself, we have something called Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bites. You found these in the grocery store, told me about them. I found them as well. They were kind of on the clearance, like they were a closeout item.
Yeah, mine were too. So I don't think you've got to snatch them up fast. I don't know if they're still there.
They might not be around anymore. I know Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a very popular breakfast cereal. It's not one
probably
of my favorite.
It's one of my favorites.
I don't like it because it makes the milk super cinnamony.
Why would you not want that? That's the best part.
Inside.
That's like saying you don't like Fruit Loops because you don't like fruit. Don't eat it, Dad.
The texture also is weird to me.
No, I love the texture. Oh my gosh. When it's just like a little soaked through with milk,
it
delicious.
It describes them on the box as soft donut bites with a sweet cinnamon filling. They come in the frozen section. You take them out and they look just like a snickerdoodle. They look and smell like a snickerdoodle.
That's a good description.
But they've got like a little bit of goop and like, I don't know, frosting goop in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about them?
Literally eating one right now. I like them. So I microwaved mine because I don't have super easy access to an oven. Yeah. They're a little soggy, but I don't think that would be a problem if I hadn't microwaved them.
Our experiences are going to be slightly different because I actually used our oven and you used your microwave.
It's like a very like bready consistency with like, like goop in the middle. It reminds me of those Tasty Cake coffee cakes, but like kind of warm with a little goo. And I like them. I might go as far as to say they're delicious.
Yum,
yum, yum, yum, yum. Delicioso.
And to be fair, these have been sitting in the warming oven like during the whole podcast, so they might have got a little bit dry. I'm going to go with they're okay. They look good. They seem like they should be a little better than they are to me. I don't know.
Okay.
They're okay. They're a little dry on the outside.
They're probably dry because you kept them in the oven for so long.
But I feel like they should be better.
Okay.
I think because they look just like a snickerdoodle, I'm comparing them to like a really good snickerdoodle, and they're not
your
quite
problem
that good.
Is that your expectations are too high, and I didn't really expect to like these as much as I did.
Yeah.
So for me, I think my expectations were lower than yours.
Yeah. So that's the only item we have, Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bites. That is our treat yourself for today, and that is our podcast. So thanks, Phoebe, for being on the podcast with me.
Yep.
Thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast. Be sure and get your predictions in for where Phoebe is going to serve as a missionary. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at talktodadpodcast on Facebook and Twitter. And you can find us at talktodadpodcast.com, our website, where you can stream and download all of our episodes. If you want to help us out, there's a couple of things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. If you know a family who's interested in podcasts, particularly family-friendly podcasts, ours is a good one for that. And the second thing is you can leave us a 5-star review if you subscribe, rate, and review us. Wherever you find podcasts, that helps us out. Thank you to everyone who has given us a 5-star review. I think we've gotten nothing but 5-star reviews, so that's always nice. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time through.